It's lesson 34, and it's titled, God's Love Story is Worldwide. God's Love Story is Worldwide. There's a tendency in the Christian community, and I've seen this no matter where I've gone. I think I've probably been to at least 400 congregations in my life as a Christian, and I see this quite a bit. We perceive the kingdom of God through our local eyes or our national eyes, like the church started here in Camp Hill or something, or it started in Iowa somewhere. And because of that, we're sometimes limited. If you go to Africa, they do things a little bit different than they do here, that they do a little bit different in Romania, that they do a little bit different in Greece, that they do a little bit different in India and South America, and wherever you go, they do things differently. But not that much different. You still understand it. You still have a worship experience from it. But they do things a little bit different. And it's odd when it hits you. When I first saw that they had official ushers in the churches in Africa with like a banner across them. It said, Usher. You know, and it wasn't like the rap singer. It was like Usher. They're going to escort people back and forth in their seats. And I thought, wait a second, can you do this? And wait, what is it? No, there's no verse that says you can't do that. But that's just how they did things. And I know when we were in Greece, they used real wine in the Lord's Supper. And Abby, when she had the first Lord's Supper that she took there, she went like that. She didn't realize that that's what grape juice tastes when it turns on you like that. And the same thing in Romania, they just use. I went out to find grape juice, and I said, "What do you mean wine?" I said, "No, grape juice." Well, that's wine. No, grape juice before it becomes wine. Oh, well, you don't have that. And it's like, wow, okay, all right, we'll go there. But you know, there's nothing sinful about doing it that way. We do things a certain way, and if there's always a danger, we start viewing the Lord's kingdom as only through our eyes. And Jesus made it very clear that his kingdom is worldwide. That his love story is about the entire world, not just Camp Hill, not Carlisle, not just over here and over there. He's a worldwide Messiah. And while Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he communicated a worldwide presence of the gospel. Matthew 5, 13 and 14, he called Christianity, the Christian, salt of the earth and light of the world. Not salt of the county and light of the metropolis. It's of the earth and of the world. John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the what? The world. And John 1, 29, Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That includes Camp Hill. And so he always held a worldwide perspective of his love story from God. And before he ascended up to heaven, and usually the last things you focus on before you depart, those are the important things. Listen to what he said in the Great Commission before he ascends up into heaven. He has a worldwide perspective. He says in Matthew 28, 19, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. And then he says in Mark 16, 15, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. Luke 24, 47, he says that forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He's very specific. He's very clear that I want you to see me as a world Messiah. This is a worldwide mission. And don't focus on the little things. Focus on the big picture. And so, these were the last earthly words that he would speak to them. And he ascended up into heaven shortly thereafter. We know what was on his mind and that he was holding on to a worldwide perspective. Now, no one writing in the Bible confirms this perspective better than the book of Acts. Jesus is a worldwide Messiah with a worldwide message for a worldwide hope. And so, with that in mind, let's review the book of Acts and find the reiterated commands of Jesus being carried out in the lives of the apostles. They were told to wait in Jerusalem, and for the kingdom was about to come upon them. And so it was from there Jesus, he reiterates a threefold strategy. When he talks about from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, listen to how he does it. Threefold approach he commands them to have in Acts 1:8. Number one, Jerusalem. This was the local work, the birthplace of Christ's church. This is where we would find tens of thousands of Jews on that day of Pentecost, the anniversary of the law. They are going to hear that first gospel sermon, which would usher many of them in. And by the end of the day, 3,000 souls said, "Sign me up. I want to become a Christian. I want to be in God's kingdom. I love God's love story," Acts 2:41. They took the local mission very seriously, and in just a couple of months, were already over 5,000 converts of just the men, 4 verse 4 of Acts. They took the local mission very, very seriously. And when the enemies of God tried to shut the church down, well, persecution, that just flamed the fire. That's all it did. Acts 5:14, all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. I mean, I'm telling you, no matter how what they tried to do to stop the church, it only grew the church. And so, I want to state this point. We have an obligation. No, better yet, a privilege. To share the gospel message on a local missions environment. Because this was local at this time. They started in Jerusalem. You know, local mission is spreading God's love story. And we all know that we have a privilege to be able to share Christ with our next door neighbor and our coworker, people who are already in our circle. But that alone is not the worldwide perspective. That's part of the worldwide perspective. There was more. He said Judea and Samaria. Judea and Samaria. Acts 8:1, Saul was persecuting the church in Jerusalem because they were sharing the gospel. So, according to Acts 8:1, they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Regions. The regions of Judea and Samaria. These are the regions. This makes up the rest of the country in which Jerusalem is based. These two regions are referred to as the national missions. Those Christians in the first century church, they had a heartfelt desire to not just stay in their circles, to stay in their city, but to take that gospel message out to the rest of their fellow comrades in the country, including the Samaritans. According to, this included people that they did not know. You know, and they were very different from them. For example, the rural folk of Judea, they weren't as sophisticated and cultured as those in Jerusalem. They were country folks. You know, they talked funny when they went out there. But they took that gospel out to them anyway. The Samaritans, the half-breed cousins of the Jews, they weren't even liked by the Jews. But yet, there was a conscience within them that said, we must take that gospel to these people who are different than me, because they're right in my backyard. I need to take that gospel out to them. John 4:9, you know, the Samaritans didn't have anything to do with the Jerusalemites, I guess how you'd say it. But yet they went past that barrier to work their own region. In Acts 8:3, it said, after they were persecuted, that's okay. You're going to scatter us. We'll go about preaching the word. And that's what they did. And Philip went to Samaria and, quote, began proclaiming Christ to them, Acts 8:5. Philip, as a result, it says, quote, they were being baptized, men and women alike, Acts 8:12. A first century church wanted and needed to share the gospel on a national level. They had national missions. Just like Jesus commanded, they wanted to be obedient, and they felt privileged to do so. Well, we also must have a national perspective when it comes to our missions. We need to be reaching out and working with other congregations in our area. Do you go to the gospel meetings that come up? Do you share in the other works around there? You know, if you don't, if you've been in the church for years and you still don't know many people in the other congregations, that's not their fault. That's your fault. Okay? Go to these places. Meet all these other great brothers and sisters in Christ that you're going to see in heaven. I mean, you're going to see them anyway. I mean, you don't want to have a name tag in heaven, do you? Oh, hi, I never saw you. It doesn't work like that, kids, so don't think that you're going to have name tags in heaven. But the point being is that's part of national missions. You know, go over to Carlisle, go over to Broad Top, go over to Harrisburg. You know, when you're traveling, I mean, let's face it. When you go on vacation, you don't vacate yourself from God. Okay? I love it when I go on vacation, and I'm already plotting out who I'm going to drop in on, and I'm going to stop at this congregation and hear about what they're doing here in this section of the kingdom. You know, you have other missions, for example, like the American Indian reservations. They're just hungry for the word there, and they're right in our own country. It's like a foreign country within our own country. You have Spanish missions. You have among our inner city poor, you have a lot of times they're different than us culturally, maybe in Camp Hill. Now, over in the inner city, guess what? They also need to be able to work with congregations here. This is a universal principle. Amen. You know, the river doesn't separate the blood of Christ. Blood is thicker than water. Did you hear that? And as far as preaching, go to the preaching schools, the brotherhood colleges, do things with them. Our Bible camps, our youth ministries. There's a national perspective to God's love story, and we had better get that through our heads. It's not just local, it is national and regional inclusive with that. But that, you just can't take that, because that's part of the worldwide picture that Christ had. It's not all the missions. Because he also says to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 11 verse 19, we find the gospel spreading beyond the region, going international. God's love story spread to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. It was then that the apostles saw the need to send Barnabas to do further missionary work and to encourage and spread that gospel. Acts 11 verse 22. The work was so great that Barnabas said, I'm going over to Tarsus, and I'm getting my boy Paul, and I'm going to bring him back because I know he wants a part of this. And so that's what he did in Acts 11, 25. By the time we arrive to Acts 13, there's an all-out missions effort to lead people to Christ and to grow the church and to encourage the brethren. If you look at Paul, Barnabas, and Mark traveling through Cyprus, Asia, Mark drops off, but the gospel kept spreading from chapter 13:4 to 14:26. We call that the first missionary journey. And it says, when the mission team finally arrived to Antioch, quote, they gathered the church together and began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, Acts 14:27. Now, they were celebrating. They were just elated over the prospects that God has taken the gospel international. And that's always exciting in a company. You know, you always hear about, well, we're in 28 states and 8 countries. Oh, wow, they got a worldwide presence. Now the gospel is not just in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. It's blowing the doors out. It's now in Asia. And we know in Acts 8 that it spread to Ethiopia. So it's in Africa. It's in Asia. And that's because it's going international. But it doesn't end there. In Acts 16:36, there's a new mission team formed that was sent out on what we call the second missionary journey. They traveled back to the other international locations and encouraged them. But by the time it was over, they were not only in Asia and Africa, but now they're in Europe. Acts 16:36 through 18:22. That's the account of the second missionary story. And when they returned to Antioch again, there was even more celebration. Why? We have expanded Christ's business. God's love story is now 3 continents. And that was exciting. Yes, sir. And before the book of Acts was completed, Paul was being sent to Rome and being judged by Caesar. Well, actually, you have a third missionary journey from Acts 18:23 to 21:14. And it further went a little bit deeper, and it encouraged all those brethren. And so by the time they got to Jerusalem, everybody's happy. And we're talking tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of converts. We know roughly 25% of the empire's population of 250 million, so that would be about 65 million, had already converted to Christianity by the end of the first century. So I don't think I'm stretching it by saying there's at least tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, that have already converted to Christ. This thing's going global, and that's exciting. And before the books of Acts was complete, here's Paul going on his trip to Rome, what I like to call the fourth missionary journey, because he did mission work all along the way. I mean, if you're shipwrecked on an island, it's time to convert some people on the island. I tell you, everybody who jumped off that boat when it crashed, I wonder how many converted out of that group. And most of them were prisoners, so that's a traveling prison ministry. That's unique of Paul to have that opportunity. And by the time they're done with the book of Acts, we find out there's already a fifth missionary journey planned to go to Spain. Paul's saying in Romans 15:24-28 that hey, I'm going to try on this trip to go all the way to Spain. See, that's an international presence that God has of his gospel. And we also have an obligation to have an international presence in our spreading of the word and our assistance to churches internationally. It's very, very clear to me in the Bible. There are some great works waiting to be born if only we empower them. There are some great works to be part of. I know that every time I come back from a mission trip, I know you're just as excited as I am about all the work that's going on in the kingdom. It's exciting to know of the church expanding in Ethiopia and in Ghana and these different areas. It's really exciting because I'll tell you what, in our culture is becoming more God-hating, more ridiculous against God. These other nations, I need to hear news about 50 or 60 new church plants in Ghana. I want to hear about Albania, where Benny Lika is from, on how, you know, 20 years ago when communist dictatorship ran the country and they banned you from even talking about God, now there's like 20 churches in Albania of the Lord's kingdom right there, and that's expanding. That encourages me. You know, because what's exciting about that is there's all kinds of governments. If God is closing the door on one nation, he's popping open a window on another nation. He has an international, worldwide view of his love story. And every congregation, the Brotherhood, should strive internationally in their evangelism efforts, for it's commanded by Jesus. And so in my conclusion, I want to do two things. We hear that from some congregations, they say, we need to be doing our work here before we even think of going and doing something else. Okay? Or they might say, oh, well, we need to be involved in church camps and the colleges and stuff, and then they neglect the other two. Or there are some congregations that say, well, you know, well, our specialty is overseas missions. And then they forget about the local missions. Who's right? Jesus is right. Okay, that's the only one who's right, and that's Jesus, because he has a worldwide perspective. You take it all or you take it none. You can't just take part Jesus. I mean, what do you think? Part of your soul is going to be in heaven, the rest in hell? That's not how God works. He wants all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's our Savior. And so when he commands a worldwide perspective, he's serious about it. And I'll tell you why we always benefit when we look at the kingdom worldwide. Number one, it breaks down barriers of the culture. You know, I don't care who we are. We all have certain mindsets of how things are going to be. Well, we're going to be surprised in heaven, I think, quite a bit. And I'm glad. I like being surprised. But But the point being is I like to prepare for a surprise a little bit so I don't race my heart or something. But another thing is that it helps us with is that it's very encouraging to me to hear about the works in other nations, in other areas. You know, if I hear of a great program in the state, wherever I go, I always ask this question, what do you got here that's working? What are you doing in your missions? Because I want to hear about that, because I'm a great stealer of ideas. I love that, and I like to modify it and put like a new breather on it and new chrome wheels and making it run better. And but because there's no new thing under the sun. Everything we need is right there in the Bible. All we're doing is digging it back out. And so, I want to commend Camp Hill congregation. If you haven't been here for very long, I want to take you back to 12 years ago when I was interviewing for the job. And I know that, let's see, do we have any elders that are still there at the time? I think Alan was an elder. I don't know if he's here today, but I made it very clear, you know, in the interview process, in the screening process, I did not want to go to a congregation that just thought locally. I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to go to a congregational that was one-dimensional in any of those ways. And one of the things that I asked the elders here, and we even talked about it among the interview with the congregation at that time, is that I wanted to see if they had a worldwide perspective of Christ. Because if you have those glasses on, there's no stopping you. Because that, yeah, you have Jesus' glasses on. Too many times when you have people, oh, Barry, you were here. I didn't even see you there. Wasn't that true? In fact, that's weird. I thought we had nobody from that, and Barry's here from New Hampshire. Welcome, Barry Fogle and Melanie. But, I said, you know, what would we do locally? I heard about the Bible camps, and I saw some of the other congregations in the area. I did my research. But when I got to the end, what really won my heart over is when they said, oh, and we'll allow you like one mission trip a year to go. Now, I don't always do it, but he said, we'll allow you one mission trip because they saw the importance of it. I saw the whole package. I was excited about that because I can work with a congregation like that. You have that characteristic that is missing in so many congregations. And when you have that perspective, guess what? You think outside the box. You learn things. You encourage in ways that you can never be encouraged otherwise. So the bottom line is this. Jesus, we as Christians, must always hold a worldwide perspective of a worldwide Savior with a worldwide hope of eternal life. That's God's love story. All these things that we see here, I want you to see that from this lesson here. God's love story, it may have been put together here at Camp Hill, but God had it put together before us, and God wants that message to go out to the entire world. Wherever we are, there you are. There's your mission. And so we just have to make sure we're moving. And so with that in mind, if we ever fail to keep that at the forefront of our hearts, we'll be no better than the localized idol worshipers in Canaan when they came into the Promised Land. Don't have a one-dimensional view of Christ. Expand your mind the way Christ wants you to. And so I'd like to offer an invitation at this time. If you're hurt in any way, if you need the prayers of the congregation, maybe you haven't entered the kingdom of God yet, and you want to put on Christ in baptism, we encourage you to do that. The water's there. If your heart is right, go into that water and come out knowing that you're saved by the blood of Christ. And if you're hurting, we ask that you help us heal that heart by supporting you and to share your struggles at this time while we stand and sing.